And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way. Having a great time here. Corey, myself in the studio with you, talking fishing, having fun. Pete Gray is finishing up a great trip down in Baja, and we'll look, mainland Mexico. We'll look forward to having him back in the studio next week. I know they had a great time, some great surf, and some great fun, but boy, we're just hanging out in the studio this morning. It's just Corey and I having fun. It's your show, talking tackle, talking information, all the great rigging, all the great gear, trips, whatever you want to talk about. Today is a show for you. It's a totally open format. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. And, man, it's been a busy morning, Corey.
Super busy, Rick. And there's one open line. Seems like there's been one open line the whole show, right? I mean, it's been full. But 213-432-1090 is the telephone number. Or you can text us via the app. Make sure you leave your name and telephone number when you do so. And we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth, and I know we've got a very special report coming.
Yeah, we got Captain Andy Cates from the Red Rooster calling us. Andy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too, buddy. I cracked up so much. It was so much fun having you in the studio last week, and to think that the response I got in the tackle store was huge. But to think that you being a long-range guy and all the big fish fishing and all the stuff that went on this year – all I kept getting were calls and texts about, hey, man, tell me more about that Riviera cruise that he's doing. I want to take my wife. Like, that was – I was blown away at the response of people I had talking about your cruise thing that you're doing.
Oh, great. Well, that's kind of why I'm calling back. I wanted to bring that up again. But first of all, I wanted to congratulate at the entire fleet, all of Southern California, on a spectacular year. Putting together consistent fishing and safe voyages throughout the Southern California coast here. Congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, well said.
And hopefully we have another year next year like we had this year. I know some of the boats are still out running and this and that, but all in all, what a great year. Thanks for your support there at the show and everybody else in the industry. It's really been a great year. But I wanted to bring up, you know, we spent quite a bit of time talking about this Riviera cruise, and I just wanted to bring it up again and let guys know that we'd still have some openings. And, you know, we've got this Valentine's Day cruise, February 14th to February 18th. It could give you an opportunity to fly down to La Paz, get on the boat the afternoon of Valentine's Day, and then spend 4 days on the boat doing the activities such as the whaling, some of the hiking, and just some of the exploring, taking the big boat up through the mangroves. It's really a spectacular trip and really something that I think a couple would really, really enjoy. You know, we had great success with it last year. So bringing that back up, I just wanted to let people know that we've still got a few spots open. We got a lot of traction from the show a couple weeks ago, and it was really nice. I just wanted to kind of keep the ball rolling here and let people know. If you do want to look at some of the pictures and some of the short clips and get a little bit more information about itinerary and how this works, you can look up Red Rooster, the number 3cruise.com, or go to our regular website, redrooster3.com, and then hit the link there for the Riviera cruises. But we're expecting, you know, another spectacular year on that, as well as wintertime long-range fishing trips. So if you guys are interested... Yeah, go ahead.
I would say what I was so impressed with it is it's such a unique and cool and different trip that is so easy on the passenger. It's easy on us. You know what I mean? Like, all we're doing is catching a flight to La Paz, and you pretty much handle everything else. Like, there's a... You know, I mean, there's like a couple of weeks worth of Baja work that you would try to do this kind of trip on your own. That everything is just handled. All you're doing is catching a flight to La Paz, and you know, you were talking about transportation pickup and different destinations and driving, you know, driving the big comfortable platform through the mangroves and seeing all the killer backwater and then getting to go onto the local pongas and utilize the local guys and go and pet the whales and see all the calving. I just think it's such a rad trip and, you know, something's going to stick with you forever. Such a unique thing with just so little effort on us as the passenger side.
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely memorable. And the nice thing is it is a short trip, you know, because there's very little travel. Basically, you leave from the airport in the morning and then you get on the boat. Yeah, you leave from the airport in the morning. You know, one of the things that's nice about being local, and this February 14th trip, we've got quite a few people from Point Loma. You know, some of the people that I know and this and that. So we got good traction on that. But, you know, the idea of flying down, you get to La Paz, we have a courier that picks you up, and they drive you an hour and 45 minutes to Puerto Chale, and then you get on another little ponga, and right away you're in the mangroves, and you're cruising out through the mangroves into the lower part of the bay, and then boom, there's the Red Rooster. Then you get on there, you know, we do a nice little orientation, have a great dinner, flat calm. The entire trip is within the bay. So it's spectacular weather. It's flat calm throughout the entire trip, whether we go up to Lopez Mateo or whether we're at Magdalena Island. That's definitely another factor. You know, a lot of people are like, well, is it going to be rough? It is not. The boat barely moves except for going forward. So just some of the new things, you know, and there was another new thing that came up, too, is this little oyster farm that popped up. And there's a guy there, and he's got a little house, and you drive up in the ponga, and then you get these fresh oysters from this farm. And I'm going to incorporate that in some of the trips, too. And here's the thing. I think they're 25 cents a piece.
That's so rad. That's so cool.
How many of those do you think you could gobble down at 25 cents a piece?
Yeah, you give me a couple of cold Pacificos, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, well, there's that stop, and then there's the restaurant on Mag Island, which is just a palapa restaurant, but it's all the fresh seafood. And it just gives you this culture, and with zero traffic and really zero people around, it's extremely unique, like you said, and definitely a bucket list for a lot of people. So, like I said, we do have some spots available, and that would give you an opportunity to get room choice. But it's very roomy on the boat and very, very nice. I think it's an excellent trip, especially for couples. Very, really a nice Valentine-type vacation for somebody to take their wife or girlfriend on.
And you even were talking about having, like, little setup, little candlelight dinners on the deck of the boat and having a masseuse on board. And, like, I mean, you guys went really the extra mile to truly turn the Red Rooster into a cruising platform.
It is. You know, we have a gal that lives in Lopez Mateo, and she comes down and does a turn down service every day while we're doing activities, and then offers cocktails and weather permitting, the massage up on the bow. We make this little canopy,
and it's just trying to do a great job.
Just the little things.
Yeah,
just
that's
the
cool.
Little things.
Now, one more time, if somebody wants it, it has its own dedicated website, or you can find it from the boat. Again, give us the rundown. A great call, too, on that Valentine's Day trip. What a fun program to put together. But if somebody wants to get in on that, the whales, the hiking, the killer food, the whole experience, how do we do it?
Well, like I said, the dedicated website is redrooster3cruise.com. And if you want to go through our main website, there's a link right in the middle there that'll take you to that. But that's redrooster3.com.
Awesome. Andy, great job. Appreciate it. I think that's going to be a very successful thing for you guys because of that. So unique, very affordable, fun trip, and something to do. A great thing to do in kind of a slow time of year. Business is often slow that time of year. There's not a ton going on. Easy to get away for a few days. Appreciate you keeping us in the loop, buddy, and I hope you guys have continued success.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a great show.
All right, Andy. Appreciate that. Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah, it sounds totally cool.
Yeah, just a different, unique, rad trip to take your gal with or vice versa. And they hire a lot of local crews, and they'll go up and do the whales. I mean, sight on scene, like pet the whales inside the bay. And, you know, they go on like a hike on Mag Island that virtually nobody is on. Just a really fun, different thing. I dug it. I thought that was really cool.
Like old school Baja.
Exactly.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah, and think about what it would normally take you to do that trip. You know,
yeah.
The drive down, the multiple stops along the way, figuring out where you're staying, figuring out how to hire the right guides, like just everything's handled.
I hope my wife's not listening.
Yeah. I hope she is.
I say that because it might be in the cards.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
want her to hear it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a great text come through. This one is from James in La Jolla. It says, I really enjoy this open forum show. Corey, I'm struggling with hooking calicos of all sizes on my weedless rig. It seems that I hook maybe one in three or four of my good bites. So I tend to throw your traditional baits over the weedless where I'm pretty sure I'd be able to get bites. What tips can you give me to fix my poor ratio?
Well, there's several factors in this that I've experienced over the last 3 or 4 years. And when the calico limit went from 12-inch legal to 14-inch legal, there was kind of a good change. And that change is there's a tremendous amount of 13 to 15-inch fish, which I will have all the fun in this world catching all day long. Are you kidding me? It's just a, you know, so you have to kind of, things have changed a little bit. And not a bad, but the 7-inch weedless back then, 5 years ago was awesome for those three. There was a tremendous amount of 3 to 5 pounders. There still is. The problem is there's so many 15 inchers that think they can eat it, and you will. You'll hook them. You'll catch them. But it does take that second, third bite of letting them eat it. It's kind of a perfect presentation. What I've gone to for the most part is fishing a 5-inch swimmer weedless on the 7-inch, on the 7-aught. Gamakatsu Superline swim bait hook, and that is money. Like, you can have, like, no joke, easy as hell, a 50 fish day, like half day.
I fire that bait out. I get my bite. Am I swinging for the fence to drive that hook on? Am I winding that fish on like a surface iron? Is it a combo? Like, what's the motion like? And like, where is your rod positioned ideally to get the hook in?
Those are all key ingredients. Seriously, everything you just mentioned. And your worst enemy is to point your rod at the bait because it's like when those fish hit it, there's no give, no slack. Ideally, I'm holding my rod tip at a 45 degree angle of the bait. That way, if you get an unseen bite or one that just is a lightning bolt that you never have a chance to react, with that 45 degree angle, the fish can still take it and pull your rod tip. There's something to give. You know, it's that extra foot or two to allow the fish to get hooked. Ideally, is you watch it. I mean, 95% of the bites you see, that's kind of the whole allure and the attraction and the adrenaline rush, but is to feed it to the fish.
Yeah.
To watch the bite happen, bow an inch or two, set the hook that quick. Boom, boom, boom. You're on.
Bite, drop, swing, bite, drop, wine, swing.
All in a half second. Yeah. And good luck.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that good at it. But the 7-inch, you'll still catch a ton of fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the 13 to 15 inch fish are eager to eat it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to hook a lot of those. But here's the thing. You are now drawing up a scenario where that 7-pounder now, hopefully, is watching that scenario.
Sure.
Here's what most guys do. They throw out, they get bit by the 13-incher, they wind in that darn little guy, you know, and they cast the opposite direction. Well, work with that little guy. He's drawn attention from a bigger fish that you try to play like dog with the bone, like pulling it from him kind of thing. And then out of nowhere, that 5-pounder comes and inhales it. You're painting a picture.
The mini cloud of, you know, 10 and 12 inches that are trying to come up and peck at the bait and try to peck the tail off. Yeah.
It could just be one. Mm-hmm. It could be one 13-incher that is drawing that attention. And then, another 13-incher comes and rushes it, hits it, misses it. And then that's when the 5-pounder inhales it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can kind of draw up your scenario, too. It's fun.
I dig.
I have a good text here, too, Rick, for you. It's good morning, guys. And I know it's kind of an untold thing, but it'll be good. It's about the squid fishery. Good morning, guys. I was told that squid is in La Jolla right now. Is that true? And if so, where's the best spot? Everybody wants to know that one, right? And what's the best type of gear to catch them, rod and reel, and what's the best lure? So that squid is up and down the coast, as Mark mentioned, and it doesn't always show up in the same zone, but it kind of mimics the same. It might be a mile away the next year. How do you find that? I mean, how do you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll talk to Dave, who's standing by, because I think Hansen will have some great things to put on it, who's done a lot more squid fishing than I. But the first is the visual cues that you can see, you know, birds sitting, you know, a fair amount of bird life that's not up and flying around, like a lot of birds that are just fat and happy sitting on the water, you know, watching what the birds are doing, whether it be gulls or shearwaters or whatever. You know, even the best visual, you know, seeing a fish pick one or seeing a bird pick one off and seeing a squid. So, but the presence of bird and sea lion is often a good eyeball visual indicator. What you really need to do then is, like you say, it often shows up in similar areas. It doesn't mean it's going to be in the same spot, but if you've got that, if it's the right time of year, a right piece of moon where it should be around, this would be one of those times. It's very common for La Jolla to get squid, you know, in these wintertime months, especially around the new moons and full moons and things like that. So then, you know, you got your visual cues to get you somewhat dialed in. Then you just got to mow the lawn with your electronics and keep an eye and you know, see what that bait looks like on the bottom. A lot of times it will be small spots of bait, and sometimes it just looks like little pencil scratches on your meter or a little fuzz, you know, in hard bottom areas. It often shows up in the similar depth of water. And then I think when the bait's not super around in big volumes, just little patches, I don't think you can beat those little snagger ganyons as far as picking off small amounts of bait at a time. And, you know, nothing will beat the brightest light anchored over the best spot of bait in terms of catching it that way. You know, getting yourself positioned over the most amount of bait that you can find and having the best drawing power is how you're going to float it and then hopefully crowd it and scoop it. But for a skiff this time of year for us, sometimes running out first thing in the morning, getting over where that bait's at, and just getting over that area with those little snagger ganyons, you'll usually catch enough bait to fish with for the day and not necessarily having to have the all-night production, you know, of being anchored out and making the bait if the volume's not there.
So not my style all night. But when you're talking 50, 60-pound sea bass and a 30 to 40-pound yellow,
yeah,
which is typical of that scenario.
That's everybody's style.
Right? I know, exactly.
Shoulder fillet of white sea bass is everybody's style.
I know.
Hey, with that said, let's find out a guy who I guarantee can have some really good info on making local bait, and that's our boy Dave Hansen.
And I'm sure he's got a few videos on it, too, and it's brought to you by the fish pros at Fishman's Processing San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros at Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked, jerked fish, all their spices and rubs, which are all made in-house, along with your smoked cheese, tuna burgers, and poke kit, the ceviche spice kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishmansprocessing.com. If you're booking your trip for next season, this winter, whatever it is, make sure you give them a call. Excuse me, text them. Let them know when your trip's going. It's 619-255. I'll say it again here, 619-255-3128.
That's it. Hey, we got your saltwater guide standing by, Captain Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Corey and Rick. Great show. I'm all fired up. I got so much that I want to say. I love your scenario, mowing the lawn. I love that. I'm going to use that a lot now, Rick. That's bitching. I love that. You can't sum it up any better. That's the key, guys, that we're thinking about the squid thing. That La Jolla squid, that's like the most valued squid on the planet Earth. Rick can't tell you where it is because there would be a lot of people that would come into the shop and be super angry right now. But the key is to get in 90 to 120 feet of water and do what Rick said, mow the lawn back and forth. Listen, when he was talking about the birds, a big thing that most people don't understand is if there's pelicans, there is no squid. So if you see pelicans diving, that's fin bait. Pelicans hate squid. They hate them. They don't like them the way they grab a hold of them. They just will not eat squid. I mean, maybe one starving young, you might, there's always one, but you're not going to find it with the pelicans. If the pelicans are diving, that's fin bait. Get out of there. You got to go look somewhere else. But mowing the lawn is perfect. Back and forth with your pedometer, looking from 90 to 120 feet of water, and yeah, there's squid pretty much everywhere, like Mark Wish was saying yesterday. The squid's all over the place. Then another thing real quick, Corey, don't you hate it when or Rick, when you're fishing calico, you're winding that MC swim bait, and all of a sudden you get that bite in your hand, falls off the handle. Is that the worst thing in the world? Oh my God,
that happens. Like, yeah. Man, that's the worst.
What about Velcro on your fingers and female Velcro on the hand? I don't know, man. I've been trying to figure this one out for years because Calico bass, my favorite fish to fish for in the whole world.
Hey, that might be Afco's new sunglasses.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Velcro grip.
Super glue thumb print.
If nothing pisses you off more, you made 10 so casts, true. You know you're in the zone, and then your hand falls off the handle when you get that bite. Oh, it sucks so bad. All right, gang, as far as fishing goes, fishing's pretty fun right now. That bluefin's still biting out there. It hasn't gone away. It's still biting, but the days are shorter. It's harder for the smaller boater guys to get out there. It's mostly sonar fish, but that fish is still out there. And then Catalina is the most consistent place on the coast right now. Still lots of bonita, lots of squid everywhere. Rockfish are biting. Water super clean. Little bit of crawl on the lobsters. I know I took up a bunch of time talking about the other things, but there's still no reason to not go fishing. The weather's pretty spectacular. The water is way clean. It looks beautiful out there. You just got to get out and go fishing.
I like it, man. Well said. Appreciate it as always, Dave. And if somebody wants to link up with your saltwaterguide.com, a great thing to buy a fishing friend for a subscription. All the great videos you do, whether it be rigging for big tuna or how to find squid and how to rig squid and all the everything in between. How do we find you with your saltwater guide?
Gang, check me out. I'm all over social media. And when Andy was talking a few minutes ago, perfect. We have a whole series of videos coming out about Lopez Mateo. I did a bunch of stuff with my drone, and we're going to be showing those videos for the next week and a half. And Andy, you may be seeing Kelly and I on the boat. We're thinking real hard about going up there for that Valentine's trip.
Doesn't that sound cool?
You may be seeing it. Oh, I think it's going to be, because I've always tried to talk Kelly into coming up there, but it's so rustic, and it's like hardcore fishing it out of Lopez Mateo. It's pretty hardcore, but if we can go on the Red Rooster 3 and have that 5-star accommodation, I think she may be in.
I like it, man. Well, you might be seeing us down there, too. Dave, a great job, a great report. Appreciate it, as always. And we will look forward to talking to you next week. Appreciate that very much.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Good
Thanks,
stuff,
buddy.
Dave. Man, I couldn't imagine a masseuse on the bow. Hello. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hook Up. More with Rick and Corey. Your text and calls when we return on Let's Talk Hook Up. Out the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Llanero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Llanero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Llanero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLanero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Llanero.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Swordfish season is on, and now is the time to get your gear. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Daiwa have been making great saltwater reels for decades, and their lineup of electric reels are fantastic. The Daiwa Seaborg, with its mega torque motor, has the power to bring in that giant swordfish. And when it comes to flying a kite, the Daiwa Tanacom is the answer, and so affordable. Both Daiwa reels are in stock now at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Visit us at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, Rick. It's been such a crazy, busy show.
So fast, man. It's super wild busy, how quick it goes.
And between the callers, 213, they are full right now, 213-432-1090, or texting us via the show on the app there, and giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth Sport Fishing.
You super got cool. It, man. Hey, we have some very patient callers. Corey, let's jump into them.
I know it. Tom, thanks for being patient this morning, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup from University City.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, this has been an incredible show today. I've been hooping a little bit. Now I got to go for lobster and spotted bay bass, and I got to go for squid. So that'll keep me busy for a while.
Right.
But my question is actually after that. So I have a Talica 20. I'm not doing any tuna fishing for a while. But before I put it away, I wanted to get set up. So for next spring, if those bluefin show up, the local foamers like we've had for the last couple of years, I want to be ready to go out and troll the Mad Mac.
Sure.
So how would I set up my Talica 20 for the Mad Mac, just to be ready to go foamer fishing, you know, before I put everything away?
Well, if your TAC 20 is going to be your Mad Mac trolling reel, I think for me, I would, I'd want to get a fair amount of line capacity on there, because we do like to fish those lures, you know, a long ways back, you know, 100 yards, 150 yards even. So I think that I would fill that reel with a relatively skinny diameter spectra. Like, I think I'd probably utilize that Max Quattro. So I would fill my reel with 100 pound Max Quattro. And for lure trolling like that, maybe a slightly longer top shot than normal is probably what I would fish. And I think I might put on, you know, maybe 50 feet or so, 50, 75 feet of 100-pound mono. Like, I think that would make for the ideal Mad Mac rig. Now, if you were wanting to do multiple things with this reel, you know, this is my big tuna reel, and, you know, I'm not just going to fish Mad Macs and nothing else with it. The other thing that you might think about doing would be, rather than Max Quattro, knowing that you're going to get a little bit less capacity, but going with one of those colored spectras, like that Power Pro Offshore, Iserline as well, you know, where they change colors every 100 feet. That's going to be the more ideal rig when you're night jigging. So if we need to rely on this jig or this reel for being our Mad Mac troller in the spring and summertime, but also our big bluefin rig, then I might think about doing that. And then I might make my top shot an exact amount of 50 feet or 100 feet, something so that, you know, I'm using my mono also as an indicator. You know, when the first 50 feet comes off, it's mono, and then every 100 feet that comes off after that is a different color of spectra for when I'm knife jigging. But for Mad Mac time, you've still got enough stretch. So anyways, that's what I would do. Fill that thing full of either 80 or 100-pound spectra. Ideally would be that 100-pound Max Quattro, and then a nice 50 or 100-foot top shot of, like, some 100-pound mono.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
how
that
I do.
Top shot was the question. The cat,
but, yeah.
Yeah, that top shot was the question. Ali from Bloody Decks, when he was on a few weeks ago, was talking about spectra to a short top shot for those Mad Macs. And I had figured there would be a longer mono top shot, so that was really what I was curious about.
I don't think that the top shot length really makes a world of difference in terms of getting bites. I do think that a little bit longer top shot, and just the scenario of how the bite happens, you're fishing with a relatively high amount of drag on a big reel and a big fish, But, you know, when you hook a 150-pounder and the boat's going one way at 12 knots and the fish blows up on it going the other direction, there's quite a bit of shock that happens. And having a little bit more mono to absorb that, I think it's just is a better thing. So not to say that there's anything wrong with doing a direct drive 25-foot top shot. You know, I mean, that's the way that long-range big fish tuna fishing happens. You know, most of that big fish, whether it be kite fishing or sardine fishing, all happens with straight spectra, you know, in a 15 or 20 foot piece of fluorocarbon. So it's a plenty good way to still catch a big one. But I think ideally for Mad Mac, give me 50 feet of mono and a little bit of stretch. It makes it easier on the angler too when you're pulling on the fish to have a little bit of that stretch.
And less chance of accident happening when the fish is at short distance at the boat. Right?
Totally. I mean, yep. Yeah,
pulling hooks or breaking them off or ripping them off or whatever.
A little bit of cushion is a good thing for sure. Hey, appreciate the call, Tom, very much. Corey, let's keep it rolling.
How about another Tom? Tom calling from Temecula. Welcome
to
the show.
Morning, guys. Great show. Rick, I got a question for you. So I have a couple of rods that have roller guides on them, and I was wondering what the disadvantages and advantages are. I would think I'd like to use those rods for either knife drop fishing or flat fall fishing, sort of basically going up and down. What's your thought on that? You know, I just don't see that many roller guide rods, you know, on boats anymore. And sure. I don't know if they're, like, obsolete. Or just for trolling. I know I used to use them when we were trolling for marlin and caught a lot of marlin that way on the roller guide rods. So,
yeah,
so what's your take on
Tom. It? So the roller guides are definitely not obsolete. What I would say is they're less necessary than they used to be. And that just has a lot to do with the style of fishing that we're doing now and more so with the line. You know, I think the best display that AFTCO ever had with their roller guides was that machine that you would see at Fred Hall's show where it ran the line through a ring guide and then it ran through a roller guide and it was just like a robot arm that ran the line back and forth with a weight on the end. And, you know, you would see the ring guide would eventually wear down that mono and fray and break, you know, relatively quickly, where the roller guides, it would just last forever because there was so much less friction on the mono when the line was rolling over rollers versus dragging over a ring guide. The description they always gave was, you know, what's easier, pulling your anchor up through a bow roller or pulling it over the railing. And that lesser friction was so much easier on the line. With that said, we don't fish with a long area of mono often these days, and you don't have that monofilament running over the guides. So a couple of things have changed over the years. The material makeup of the inserts on guides
are much smoother.
Is way advanced. Yeah, right. There's a lot of silicon nitrate, aluminum oxide, you know, alkanite. They're using a lot of different materials that create way less friction than a stainless steel ring used to be. So the friction is now way down. And also the way that those inserts are put into the guide frames has changed. It used to just be two pieces that were held together with epoxy and like that made the ring. And now they're solid rings that are pressed in with a lot more pressure. Now a lot of times the frame overlaps the ring. So you don't see nearly the number of like popped inserts that you did back in the day when ring guides were gaining technology.
It would always happen.
Yeah. You use the stainless guide because they were a lot stronger. You use those insert guides because they were lighter. But that was the problem. The guides would crack or the inserts would pop out. And now, honestly, I would say in the tackle store, we tend to see the opposite. We see more solders failing on a traditional ring guide than we do inserts popping out of kind of ring guides. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then the other thing is weight and is cost. You know, I feel like I sound like I'm bagging on roller guides, and that's not the case at all. I love them, and I think that they have got a great application. But they are heavier and they are a little bit more expensive. A ring guide gives you a little more area when your line's casting, less issue for connections choking down. So that's the main reason you see the popularity is because of the spectra and shorter top shots. We don't have long stretches of mono going over the guides. You know, a common big fish rig is a relatively short top shot. Well, that top shot's not even going through your guides until that fish is straight up and down and damn near on the gaff. You know, if you're fishing a 20-foot top shot, then the line that's coming off of your reel, like, that gaff's in them sometimes before your connection's even on there.
Crazy.
So that would be the main thing. Your roller guides didn't stop working. There's nothing wrong with using them for that. The difference is just some weight in the rod, some friction differences. Sometimes if you've got older rollers, maybe you have to worry about the line jumping in between the roller and the frame. But any modern APCO roller guide, the tolerances are very tight, and you don't need to worry about it. So going forward, if I was building a rig just for flat fall fishing that was mostly going to be full of Spectra and short top shot, I'd probably go the route of a ring guide. But that doesn't mean you need to get rid of the rods you already have. They certainly work just fine.
Very interesting
stuff. Yeah,
right?
my thought anyways, Tom. I hope that answers your question for you. How about we grab another, Corey?
How about Hills? Hills from Ventura. Good morning, Hills. Appreciate you joining us.
What's up, Hills?
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you guys taking my call. It's raining in Ventura, and so my question is around that. And you guys have been talking about the bay a lot. Dave Hansen, he expounded on rain makes lobster crawl. He was talking about Long Beach when Kelly caught the 21-pound lobster, whatever it was. But in any case, for me, I do a lot of surf fishing. I love every kind of fishing. But I do notice that after it rains, if we get our creeks and rivers flowing, there is an uptick in striper fishing and even halibut. What do you guys think about when it rains? Because hopefully we're getting even more.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of hitting it right on the head, Hills. The striper and halibut. Halibut, too. People don't realize that. They're very brackish water, like freshwater influence. And a huge part of that, Hills, comes from estuaries. It comes from our bays. You know, San Diego Bay is a bay, and it has many tributaries that feed into it, Otay, Sweetwater River. I mean, there's a lot of ways that freshwater comes in. And halibut, they're spawning, and all of their stuff between spawning and giving birth and the little one-inch halibut all have to do with river mouths.
Really?
Yeah, river mouths and bays, and that's all a part of their deal. Same thing as striper. So when you have a little bit of rain, like you mentioned, Hill, sometimes that gives them a little taste in the mouth of where home is, you know? And that usually involves some type of cobblestone, surf grass and cobblestone, and enough said.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it. Hey, this was a fun text. And, Hills, thanks a lot for the phone call. This was a fun text that went along, Corey, with what you were talking about with the no issue with halibut biting bigger baits and headshots. And says, hi, guys. Talking about the aggressive nature of halibut, I caught several this year that were literally smaller than my lucky craft. That they bit. They were probably snagged and tried to smash a jig that was bigger than the fish itself. Sometimes the hooks were bigger than the mouth. That was all from Larry and Carlsbad.
Oh, crazy, huh?
Such an aggressive fish, and like you said, you present the right bait to them, they're gonna bite it.
Yeah.
You know, and not care what size they are. If they can get a hold of it, you know, whether that's a grunion and a little 4-incher, like it's gonna take it shot.
Yeah, they're gonna eat it for sure.
That's cool.
I had a good text here, Rick, and I have to bring it up because it's such great info. And the text is from Ned. And Ned, appreciate you sending it. He says, can you explain the difference in Seaguar fluorocarbon, gold versus blue versus pink? And why do you care about the line diameter? I'm using only 3 feet. Is it more abrasion resistance? And those are his questions.
Those are great questions.
I've never used a pink, really.
Yeah. So a great call. Pink is they call it single structure fluorocarbon, and it has to do with they make their own resins, and it has to do with those resins, and they can basically design fluorocarbon to do different things, better knot strength, better abrasion resistance, better suppleness, you know, more stiff, whatever it may be. Pink fluoro is a single structure process, and it is the highest end of the single structure lines. You're going to find that pink is a tiny bit more wiry than like a Premier or a Gold, but it's very strong and it's lesser expensive. Because it's single structure, they have less work to produce it, so you get a very strong fluoro fluorocarbon, great for jig fishing, big fish fishing, that pink tinted color, something that a lot of people like, and it comes with a lesser expensive price tag. Blue Label is a double structure fluorocarbon, and so they're trying to get multiple things out of it. They're trying to get that hard exterior coat with very good abrasion resistance, but also some suppleness and good knot strength. So blue has always been the favorite for us for tuna fishing because it's large diameter, which it makes for better abrasion resistance and very, very strong. Gold Label is the newest one that has come out over the years, and Gold Label is like a blend of the Seaguar Premier and the Seaguar Blue Label. Seaguar Gold is a skinnier line. It's smaller in diameter, almost as small as the Premier is, so it's a smaller size. It's more supple and soft, like it lays more limp, and it's easy to tie knots in, but it has the same abrasion resistance as the Blue Label. So you got that same abrasion as the bigger in a smaller diameter size.
I have lean toward the gold.
Same.
I love it. Okay,
same.
So if I'm just calico fishing, I'm having a great time, the blue's perfect. But freshwater, where you're not going to use a lot of leader, I had the same leader tied on the whole trip, right? So that gold is money. And it, I think it has a better abrasion resistance, and I think it gets less, like if it, you come over something and the blue might get a kink or something, the gold never takes on that kink.
Yeah, it's good,
it's
longevity.
Different. It's different.
I didn't believe in that much because yeah. I don't, you know, how could a skinnier diameter line have the strength? But we fished it at Guadalupe a couple times, and even fishing light line, you know, 40 pound, we had a couple of big ones. I went with several of the boys from the shop, and we had good enough trip that we could pull on them super hard, to the point of trying to create the failure. Like, well, let's see how hard we could pull on this until it did break. And, man, even with a couple of gut hook fish where our line was over the teeth the whole time, Brandon and I passing the rod back every 5 minutes to try and put as much heat on one as you can and still didn't produce the failure.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of it. And now that it's available all the way up to 60-pound or 80-pound, I'm a really big fan. Right. It's not much more dollars. It's only a couple of bucks. But you get the skinnier diameter and still that really strong abrasion resistance.
I agree with you. Hey, we're going to be right back, Rick, on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego. When will you turn on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio?
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer. A world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alagnak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon. King, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alagnak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check CassTours.com.
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, Rick. It's so much fun being in here.
Oh, I love it. And it goes by so freaking fast,
it
man.
It does. It does.
It's crazy.
But with that being said, there can only be one winner for this full-day trip on San Diego. We're going to flip the coin.
Do us the honors. We have a texter today as our winner. And congratulations, Jeff in Escondido. You are the text winner of the day. Always appreciate the fun text. And, man, Corey, what do you say? A great time. I dig these shows so much. It's always fun when Pete slides out and we just get to let 2 hours roll by and talk fishing, and had a great time with you as always. And so much cool stuff comes out. And I think today was a fun one because bluefin and big fish always steal the show. And I love talking halibut, talking bay bass, right? Talking, you know, rockfish, talking picachos. A great time, man.
Hey, it's just all good times from Mexico to the surf to bluefin fishing. Rick, thank you very much.
Thank you. And you got me fired up for next Saturday's show. Again, next Saturday, Bill Decker is going to be joining us with stories of Baja legends. We're going to be talking tons of that great info from the history of Baja from a great guy that spent a lot of time down there with Bill Decker. And then next Sunday, the expert angler Greg Stosberry, going to be a fantastic show. Greg, such a wealth of knowledge with anything with fins and gills, man. The guy just does it all from saltwater to freshwater, inshore, offshore. Going to be a couple of great shows coming for you next weekend. Big thanks to JP for keeping us on the air. Big thanks to Adam for keeping us rolling on the app. And a big thanks to you for your phone calls. We'll look forward to talking to you next weekend. It's Let's Talk Hookup.